What were these? Well, by 1995, as I said, 60% had been completed, including 37% of the north-south portion, three new bridges in the valley. $125 million had been spent on construction, including $52 million for the north-south. 24 expropriations had occurred, 97 buildings demolished, including some on the north-south. $10 million had been spent on the north-south design, $46 million spent on land acquisition. 1,500 acres of land in Stony Creek had been serviced and approved for residential development, but frozen by the OMB until Expressway was built. Sewers, servicing, and streets built on top of the mountain, all premised on the Expressway, and a couple hundred acres of city-owned business park lands had been rezoned and serviced. Everybody knew that. In fact, the federal government knew that. Here's a senior Environment Canada official with environmental assessment experience. He got, was assigned to come down and have a look at this, and what did he say? He said it would, in effect, be abuse. He said in his, this is a memo he wrote to his fellow people up in Ottawa, a panel review was basically not on here, primarily because there was really only one federal issue of substance, meaning the fish. The majority of the real issues are provincial and have been the subject of provincial hearings, approvals, etc. Little would be likely gained through a panel. At this point, this is continuing the memo, it appears that a lot of the opposition is a last gasp, a last appeal to an apparent court of last resort, i.e. CEA. The fisheries issues are relatively minor. The project, he said, can result in rehabilitation of the creek and may very well result in an overall improvement of fish resources in the valley. Not only did federal officials know that, but they were being told by their own lawyers that they shouldn't be doing this. Here's a quote from a federal Department of Justice memo. How did we get them? Well, we got them. In my experience, the practice of CEA has been to not refer projects to the public agency review stage where the federal government lacks the legislative authority to implement any recommendations. Based upon the facts you have provided to me, it appears that public concern is over matters that are entirely provincial. In such a case, I would not recommend referral to a public review. He continued, where public concern is over topics that fall within provincial jurisdiction, bracket, need for an alternative to the project, close bracket, the Act does not prohibit referral, but practical considerations do, to wit, the responsible authority would likely be unable to implement the panel's recommendations and the province may see the referral as an unjustified intrusion into its jurisdiction. What did Environment Canada know about migratory birds' concerns that they were trumpeting as a basis why they should be involved? Well, their own internal memo said, quote, the site is not provincially significant with respect to breeding birds, unquote, nor is it a quote of regional or provincial significance. They went on to say, the science associated with predicting such impacts is extremely weak. And then we have this interesting exercise where we had an Environment Canada engineer and a DFO biologist contrive expert opinions on migratory birds. Despite the fact that Environment Canada made a push to get the panel review, but DFO said, well, look, your internal memo about birds is just too weak. There's too much uncertainty. They added that wording in bold and underlined. Environment Canada has concluded, therefore, that the project described may have significant adverse environmental effects on migratory birds. All they said before was that it would potentially have impacts on migratory bird habitat, not migratory birds. So the engineer and the fish person got together and decided, well, we can say it will have effects on migratory birds. Yet, when I cross-examined these people, they admitted there was no evidence of additional scientific work done to support the conclusion that habitat changes would affect migratory birds, and there was therefore no scientific basis for inclusion of these additional words. Certain employees of Environment Canada were centrally involved in developing the case for a full application of the Canadian Environmental Assessment Act, and they had a conflict of interest, some of them. They were personally opposed to the Expressway and or were actively involved in the Hamilton Naturalist Club and Friends of the Red Hill, which clearly opposed the Expressway. And, for example, we have a secretary of the Environment Canada Environmental Assessment Coordinating Committee, which played a key role in the review panel setup. He was also a member of the Hamilton Naturalist Club. Environment Canada recognized as early as January 1996 this employee had a potential conflict and he apparently agreed to have no substantial involvement in the file. Nevertheless, here's what happened. That person, A, arranged a 1997 meeting between members of the Hamilton Natural Club and friends to convince DFO why CEA should be used to reconsider need and alternatives. He continued to attend key internal Environment Canada meetings discussing how Environment Canada should ensure a panel review. He was asked for his comments on key documents, including advice to the minister, the draft terms of reference through the review panel, and he continued to receive numerous internal and external correspondence during the process.